severe disappointment. That according to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, the word Baz here means that the people who witnessed the building of the Bayis Sheni were severely disappointed. And now we're having a third translation according to the Maamar Chazal. Baz means to cancel. There's a punishment that is waiting for a person in the next world, and now the punishment is canceled. The term of canceling a punishment in this context means buzz. It's canceled. Who causes punishment to be canceled? Agmas Nefesh. And what is the ultimate? Now, this is just a dogma. What is the ultimate Agmas Nefesh a person can suffer in this world? Rachmana Litzlan, the loss of a child. There's no greater Agmas Nefesh that can pass. So this is a dogma of the ultimate. But you can extrapolate and you can say that even when you put your hand into your, Gemara says this, when you put your hand into your pocket and you're looking to take out a quarter and instead comes out a nickel, that's also a teeny degree of Agmas Nefesh. I've exerted myself to accomplish something and I failed. Big deal, right? Okay, but Chazal say even that to a degree cancels punishment that's waiting for a person. Agmas Nefesh is what takes away punishment. So here we're describing over here in this Chazal, Mi ki mi vaz liyoin. What is the cancellation of punishment on the day of Olam Haba, on the next world of Yom Adin? The answer is in the extreme form is Kit Hanois. If Rachman was a person lost a young child, the Agmas Nefesh is so enormous, that child will say to Hashem, he already suffered enough. Because I passed away at a young age, it caused my parents enormous grief, that's already enough of a punishment, there's nothing more that needs to be done. That's what it says here in this Maimar Chazal.
Okay, there's another case of Baz.
Yeah.
Michal Bat Shaul, Ishtos of David, when David was dancing,
he was Mevaza himself.
Michal Bat Shaul lo haya yeled ad yom mota. She didn't have children because of that.
She did not have children because she was Mevaza David. She the way she gave Musr to David was not correct. There's a way to give Musr. That's like a whole different Chazal. There's a proper way to give Musr. Michal Bashol, she did not give Musr to David in an appropriate way. She should have been more delicate in how she gave Musr. It's not so clear what it means over there. But the truth is, David says, you're right. The way she said it to him, maybe she said it to him in public, listen, that's what a wife is for. A wife is to give you Musr. What else did Hashem create women for? So this...
Rabbi Abinel just attributes it to the fact that he didn't see that it's all on Zerubbabel. He didn't get to see the finished product of the Beis HaMikdash. He wasn't alive when they finished building. And so, in Kate's Bavel, Zerubbabel,
Hanukkah.
See the future the way a Navi. So, you know, you're saying, I worked so hard and nothing happened yet. So he lost a little bit of faith, not so much faith, he just didn't see the end result. And, you know, sometimes you lay the foundation and you don't see a generation later when it comes to fruition. You don't see the end result, but you have to have faith that you started the process and you get credit for it. He didn't understand that he did a lot. He didn't take it seriously enough.
So he's saying he's putting on the word Baz. Okay, I have to see more what he means. Okay, all right. Now let me just, I just want to take a spin-off on this Maamar Chazal. And what I mean is that over here, and this is something that you see in life very often. Mi ki mi vaz liyam. According to this Medrash, the Medrash is taking the Pasuk and putting a comma after the word liyoim, and it's interpreting the word liyoim in reference to Olam Haba, and it's asking a question, and the answer is kitanois. And according to the Medrash, Kitanes means a child, a small child that passes away at a young, passes away. If we take the same pattern of what it says in Chazal, Ki mi vaz kama, Ki mi vaz liyoim, kama kitanois, I think you can say a very simple idea. It's really the same pattern. We find there are people who have very small aspirations, hasogos, katnos. It's actually a term the Bali Musar use often, katnos, which you don't appreciate your potential. You don't appreciate what you can truly accomplish. What Pasuk is asking a question. What is the root cause of a person failing? You have a person, he starts out, he has a lot of this potential, and then when it's all over, whether it means when life is over, whether it means when a certain tekufa period of his life is over, or a certain event is over, and you want to look back and you want to analyze, and the answer is, the assessment of the experts is, this person was a failure, or this event, we had a fundraising event. Let's put it like that, we have a fundraising event. This fundraising event was a abysmal failure. Not only did we not raise money, we lost money. So you sit back in the strategy room, in the situation room, and you say to yourself, why did we fail? Why did this person fail? Why did the event fail? Ki mi vaz liyoim. We want an answer. What is the cause of this event being a bizoyoin, a failure for our mission? And you know what the answer is? It's kitanois. Because he had kleina hasagas, small hasagas. I'll give you an example in fundraising. In fundraising, you have a shul. You can do one of two things. You have a shul, you need money. So you can make a malava malka. Mitzvah Shabbos, after Shabbos is over, we have a malava malka. Everyone come to shul, and we're going to serve, we'll serve the leftover shalashuris. There's some leftover gefilte fish. There's some the kiddush, some leftover cholent, some sponge cake from Friday night Onik Shabbos. The rabbi gave a shiur for the women Friday night. There was some sponge cake. We'll serve the leftover sponge cake and the leftover herring from Shalosh Shudis. Everyone, please come to the shul and give $1,000 a seat. And we don't even have a cleaning crew to clean up the shul before, from after Shabbos, before the Shalosh Shudis begins, before the Malav Malka begins. So when the people come to the Malav Malka, how much do they give to the shul? $18. That's very nice. A lot of money. $18. Here's another approach. We're gonna make for the shul, for the institution, a dinner in the Hilton, or in the Pierre. Doesn't the Pierre still exist? Or in the Waldorf. We're gonna make for our little shtiebel. We're gonna make a dinner in the Waldorf. Black tie. And we have a guest speaker. Guest speaker is gonna be none other than the Prime Minister. Or the President of the United States, whoever that may be. we have connections. We're gonna bring them down. We're gonna serve the most expensive exotic food money can buy. And on the invitation, we're gonna send invitations, and it's gonna say per couple $5,000 a couple. Now the people in the shul who can barely earn ends meet, they're going to get this invitation. They're going to say, I'm not paying $5,000. So you say, listen, so, pay what you can pay. You don't have to pay $5,000. You want to come to the dinner, pay what you can pay. So some will pay $100, $200. And, there'll be some, they'll invite people, they'll come to the dinner, you'll call up some very wealthy people, they'll come, they'll sit down mitzvah Shabbos, or on that mitzvah Shabbos, they'll sit down during the week, and you'll serve them a delicious, delicious meal. You'll entertain them. And the cost that you're paying to entertain each one of these guests, let's say, make, I'm just making up, is $500. The gazir says to himself, you know, they gave me a meal and benefit worth, I know what it cost. I'm in the business. So, no, I have the money. Hashem blessed me. No, here's $5,000. Here's $10,000. You gave me a dinner of $500. Let me give you back $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. At the end of the day, this institution takes into the bank, when everything is said and done, a lot of money. They take away. You spend big? Well, it depends. You have to know how to do. You have to, you know, it's not so simple. You have to go speak to the experts, making sure you don't really ruin it. But it's been proven in the world of fundraising. Okay, we have over here in the room over here, we have Menachem Sperling. Menachem Sperling, is it what I'm saying? Is it true? Is I'm saying true?
Yeah.
He agrees. He says it's true. But you have to speak to the professionals who know how to do it the right way. If you don't know how to do it the right way, then you're really in a lot of trouble. But there is a principle that if you think big, you make big. If you have kleina hasagas, if you make a fundraising event, a malava malka, and serve leftovers, then when people, if they'll even come, they'll give you $18. If you make an event to raise money for a worthy cause, that's choshuv, and you make it choshuv, and you give people something which is valuable, they'll give. They'll give back big. They'll give back a lot more. The goal is always to have big hasagos. Big, think big. If you think big, if it's choshev, it will be choshev. If, who's interested, this, and you diminish the value of your cause, these are on every cause. I mean, you can make any chesed organization. You take out the Flatbush Jewish Journal and turn page after page after page. There's one organization, a yeshiva, a chesed organization. There's this institution, that institution. Every single one of them is gold. There's no doubt about it. Every organization that does chesed that is beyond belief, whether it's a yeshiva, whether it's chesed, whether it's, you name it, whatever it is, they're all gold. There's that much money to go around, you know. But if you diminish the value, the chashivas of what you have, if by you it's not chashiv, by me it's not chashiv. If you bring out the chashivas and think big and make it big, then it's big. Then when you come away at the end, there's no bizoyon. There's only kavod. There's honor and dignity. And that idea is rooted in these words. It's rooted in the pattern of what it says in this Maamar Chazal. The simple meaning of the Maamar Chazal is ki mi vaz liyoim. What is the cause? What in the first interpretation, going back to the first of these two interpretations of the Gemara, what is the cause of Talmidei Chachamim being despised in the next world, not getting what they really deserve? The answer is Kama. The answer is Kitanois. They were Miketanei Amona. Take that same pattern and just translate it differently. Ki mi vaz liyam. What is the cause of the day, meaning the event or the person on the day of reckoning, the day when it's all over, being declared, being assessed as a failure? What's the cause of why on that yom do we look back and say, you failed? You know what the answer is? It's kitanois, because you had kleina hasagas. You didn't think big. You have to think big. If you think big, and you're dealing with something that truly is valuable, then it will be big. Okay, when all of our organizations are valuable. This is not baseball, football. This is not narishkeit. Madach, when it comes to the biggest narishkeit in the world, baseball, football, and entertainment industry, look what kind of industries they have. Look how what kind of trillion-dollar industries they have in their hands. Al achas kama v'kama ben b'nei shel kal v'chomer, when you're dealing with Yiddishkeit, with all of these different issues that we deal with, which are truly valuable, how much more so are they deserving to be elevated to the highest pedestal? It's only because, unfortunately, katnos, kitanois, we don't truly appreciate what they are. Our hasogos have been diminished. You have to raise yourself up to very high levels of appreciation of what you're blessed to have. Okay, that concludes this Maimer Chazal. Okay, now we have another Maimer Chazal. Okay, yeah.
Listen, I have a general question about this thing. How, I don't know, where did they get the license to take a pasuk, which was completely different, and make it a vote? And they get, is it like a smachta? Is it just, what is it?
Yeah.
And not only, like Rebbes do the same thing. They take a pasuk.
So that's when you gotta be.
And all kind of far-fetched
interpretations. Right,
why?
So that's very dangerous. So you were saying, right. You just said something that's very, let me go back and say something, touch upon gematrios. You can basically go and you can find a gematria for anything. Okay, I'm not impressed with gematrias, because the way it works is the number system is small enough where you can go and you can make up a gematria. All these things about Trump and Biden, it's mamish litzonis. To me, it's a litzonis. It's like the biggest joke. It's not even qualifies as Purim Torah. Big deal. So you find the word and it's the gematria Trump and Biden. Come on. You really, really believe in this stuff? Yes.
Yeah, but you have to differentiate between game playing and the real stuff.
Right. So on the other hand, it says, Kodosh Yihyeh Gadel Sa'ar Roisha Nazir. The Gemara says, how do you know that the minimum term of Nazirus is 30 days? Okay, it doesn't say anywhere. When a person says, Hareini Nazir, what is the halacha? You are obligated to be a Nazir for how long? For exactly 30 days. Where does it say it? Where? Show me. So the Gemara says, because it says in the Pasuk, Gadel Yihyeh Pera, Sar Roishai Yihyeh B'Gematria 30. There are mamish a handful of these type of gematrias in the whole Shas. The whole Shas, maybe five. Not even sure there are five. Five. A gematria. So if someone today would come along and say this today, if a Hasidic Rebbe would come along and say this today, how do you know that it's not supposed to be 30 days? Because it says Yihyeh B'Gematria 30. So I'm not a nice guy, okay? I'm not a nice guy. I'm a little nasty. So I would laugh. Big deal. Don't give me these gematrias. Yeah, very nice. You found Gadol Yihyeh. Very nice. Gematria 30. Have a nice day. Very nice. 30. Very. You found a remez in the pasuk. 30 days. I would laugh it off. But you can't laugh this off, because this is a maimar in the Talmud. And the Talmud is the Torah Shebaal Peh. Ravina and Rav Ashi have preserved Ish Mipi Ish, the Mesorah Misinai. It's almost like a halacha l'moshe Misinai, 30 days, and the 30 days is rooted in the word Yihyeh. That's it. We don't have a right, so that is sacred. It's sacred. We don't have a right to come along and diminish. But we also don't have a right to go and go make our own gematrias, because gematrias, these type of things are also part of the Mesorah. It's very difficult for us to see why is this type of gematria any better than any gematria that you'll make up today on your own. You'll make up Trump and Biden. The difference is emun. It all comes back to faith in the Messiah. There's halacha of Moshe Sinai. Not everything that is halacha is written explicitly in the Torah. And there are certain things that were given over purely baal peh, and there are certain things that are rooted in gematrias and in drashos, and it's part of the Messiah. So you're right. Rav Kalman is right. What gave the Chazal the right to say this idea? We have two different ideas in this pasuk, which is completely nothing to do with the pshat in the pasuk. It's a concept, and Chazal are coming to take a concept and root it in a pasuk by changing the commas and changing the and playing around with the translation of the word bas to bring out an idea. The only answer is this is part of the Messiah. There's nothing else you can say. It's part of the Messiah Misinai that this pasuk allows itself to be interpreted in such a way. Even though this is from Navi, okay, this is not Har Sinai, this is from Zechariah, which is from the last Nevi'im. But obviously, Nevuah is Nevuah. It's not called Sifri Nevi'im for nothing. There's something over here. Anything that we'll do, we're mimicking what Chazal are doing, but it pales. It's just a nice thing. You make a nice gematria, a lot of gematrias. It's not the same level. That's all you could say. It's just part of the Messiah. All right, let's go further. I want to go further to the next Chazal. Eini Hashem, next Chazal, Eini Hashem, Meshoytes, the eyes of Hashem, Meshoytes, B'chol Aretz, are roving. Hashem's eyes are roving throughout the entire world. Tanya, Hoyle B'mei Oimer, Adam Rishon B'chol Oilam Kulo, Chutz Bar Afaroi. His ash was, his earth was collected. We know Adam, this is Machlekes in the Gemara, from where was Adam HaRishon created. It says in the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ofer Min HaAdama. Hashem took earth and Hashem took water. Hashem needed the earth and the water to make Adam. From where did Hashem collect the earth in which he added water to fashion Adam? There are two opinions. One opinion says he took the earth from the place of where the Mizbeach will be. Why? Because Hashem is aware. In tzaddik ba'aretz asher yase tov lo yachata, man is destined to sin. Maybe if his earth, if his DNA comes from the place upon where kapara, atonement, comes to the world, maybe that will be a zuchus for him to have some degree of atonement. The second opinion is, as what we're quoting right now, Hashem collected earth from every corner of the earth. Why? So that when a person dies, the earth will take him back. Offer ato, vil offer ato toshav. The person's earth came only from Eretz Yisrael, and he dies in Chutz La'aretz, the earth is not going to want to accept him, because it's not native. You don't belong. This is not my earth. You are not a product of me. You're a product of a different piece of earth. Therefore, to make sure that every corner of the world will be willing to accept a person, to bury a person, Hashem took earth from every corner of the world. Mikol olam kulo hutzpar afarosh nemar, golmi ra'u einecha. So the drash is, golmi means my form. A golem. B'maral made one golem. A golem means a form. There are certain Rashi yeshivas that made many golems. They were greater than the Maral. Maral only made one golem.
Except that Maral didn't do that.
Did the Maral make a golem? So according to...
Ask your friend, the historian.
Professor Schneier, what's his name? Lehman, right?
Lehman, yes.
Schneier Lehman, he has done research. Lyman. And yeah. He has concluded that it was meant to be a children's
Schneier.
Schneier Lyman. Schneier Lyman.
It's a myth.
It's a myth.
I've heard him lecture on this twice.
It's a myth. He found evidence, concrete evidence, that it was meant to be a children's novel. a children's book. The rabbi.
No. That's the later. Well, yeah, he exposed. Yeah, he exposed that.
It's
guy
not
later.
Necessarily. It's not necessarily. He necessarily tried to pull this off. He wrote children's books, and he wrote this as a children's book as a children's book.
You're confusing people. It's not the Maharal that wrote children's books.
Not the Maharal. It's this rabbi.
I just want the people who are listening to.
There was a rabbi. There was a very distinguished rabbi in Canada.
Rabbi in Canada,
Montreal.
Yeah, a rabbi. Rosenberg. His name is Rosenberg. Gidel Rosenberg.
You heard the same lecture.
Yes, I heard the same lecture. It's online.
But the Gemara says that Rava and Reb Zera made a person.
Okay, Sefer Yetzirah. So that Rava, they lived 1,000 years before the Maharal, at least 1,000 years before the Maharal.
I actually asked Professor Lyman that question.
Yeah, what did he say?
And by the way, that's the only mention in all the Maharal's writings of a golem is just in going through that Gemara there. And he didn't say he did it.
There are a lot of stories. There are a lot of these legends about the Maharal. I once read a bio on the Maharal. There's some really weird things about these very spooky stories about the Maharal. So I could see why he went and he took the Maharal and he used him for children to make up a Baba Maisa that he made a Goylem. But as he's saying, Rav Schneur Lyman was Yoyre Le'oimko Shel Davar to prove, mamish prove.
Can I just make 2 points about what we discussed earlier? I had to look something up. In the first place, I just wanted to answer Kalman briefly. One is, when there are drashos, the key, and we've discussed this many times before, the key is to find the trigger. You can't understand a drush without understanding the trigger words that are from which that drush is developed.
Okay,
that's
very good.
One thing. So there are unusual words. That's one key. And the second thing is, since you've been harping on gematrias, and you know the person, the rokeach, is the one who has generated more gematrios than anybody ever. And he sources it from the pasuk in Ha'azinu, ki lo dovor reik hu mikem. That phrase added up, and it's the gematria of gematrios.
Very good. Wow, gematrios is ki lo dovor hu reik mikem. Fascinating.
Right. Ki lo dovor reik hu mikem.
Fascinating.
Something to remember.
Look, today we have a new thing, the Torah codes. This is a very controversial topic.
Okay, that's completely different than what we're talking about.
Not completely different. It's not so completely different.
Is.
All right, whatever it is. But these are all controversial. You go take Moby Dick and you do a Torah code algorithm, you'll find amazing things.
It's a separate subject.
It will tell you also who will win the election in Moby Dick. It'll also tell you. But if you find something in the Torah and a Torah code, so how do you deal with that? Is it divine or not? Not for now. Let's go further. Now we come over here to the Sechazal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the source? The source over here is this pasuk. This pasuk, Gol Moiro Enai, and we call Mari, and it says over here in this edition, we call Mari Einecha Niglamti, V'hainu Kol Olam, Uksiv Eini Hashem, Hema mishaitetim b'chol haaretz. So what the Gemara in Sanhedrin does is it connects the past that we have learned, the eyes of Hashem. Now, by the way, the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin connects the word Eine to the word Hashem. We discussed this yesterday, and according to the Mefarsh that we learned, the word... I'm sorry, everyone agreed that the question was, is the word Shiva part of the sentence? I take that back. The only question we discussed yesterday was, is do we begin the sentence with the word Shiva? And the Gemara does not. See, that is important. Yesterday, we learned, most of the commentators separate, they put a period after the word a shiva ela, period. And then it says, Einei Hashem hema mishoytetim b'chol ha'aretz. Which means that in this particular pasuk, we are not describing Hashem's seven eyes. Back, a few pasukim before, we mentioned seven eyes, but not in this pasuk. The only one who broke ranks with everyone to say that the proper reading of the pasuk is Shiva Eile Einei Hashem Hema Mishoytetim B'chol Ha'aretz was the Malbim. The Malbim appears to be in disagreement or this problem with the Gemara. Because when the Gemara quotes the pasuk, the Gemara leaves out the word Shiva Eile. The Gemara just starts with the words Einei Hashem Hema Mishoytetim B'chol Ha'aretz. The eyes of Hashem are surveying surveying the entire world. But in any event, the Gemara is something very, very interesting. Over here compares the text two psukim. One is Galmi, my form, your eyes have beheld. We need to put together two psukim in order to teach us a very basic principle that a human being is a product of the entire earth. It's an incredible concept. You look at the planet. It's a massive planet. And Chazal are telling us that a human being is a product of every particle of the entire globe. Every part of Earth has contributed something to create man. And the source for this concept is took a combination of two pasukim. Pasuk number one says, Hashem's eyes have beheld my form, my physical body. Pasuk, so what? What does that say? That doesn't say very much. Hashem, you gave a look at us. The second pasuk says that the eyes of Hashem survey and analyze the entire world. So when we put these two psukim together, that Hashem's eyes are surveying the entire world, with Hashem is taking through his vision particles from the entire world. And then when we apply that Hashem then looks at man and fashions man is being fashioned after HaKadosh Baruch Hu has collected elements from the entire world and has put that into man. Almost sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating with his eyes. Hashem first looks at the entire world, and I guess he collects in his vision elements of the entire world, and then looks at man and puts man, takes those elements and puts them into his creation, the creation of Adam. That's what this Chazal says. So this is a very important part of finding us over here. Man is a product of the entire world. There's no place in this world. It's a very important. And see, this Chazal, does it say the word death? Doesn't say that here. Okay, you see, it doesn't talk about death. I told you another Chazal. Another Chazal says that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this is so that when he dies, the earth will accept his body. But this particular Chazal, the Gemara Sanhedrin, does not say that, which appears to be teaching us a different lesson, is that the productivity of man is able to develop every part of this world. In other words, you shouldn't think that there's a part of this world that's not our domain. If we are a product of every corner of this world, that means there's something there for us to do. Talk to Chabad. They'll tell you have to set up a Chabad house in every corner of the world, because every part of the world, it's native to where we have come from. Next Chazal. Teda she'ein hashchina nigleis b'chutz l'aretz nema v'yakam yoyna l'vreach tashisha m'lefnei Hashem. V'chi m'lefnei Hashem hu b'reach v'loik v'y nema ono eilich me'ru checha. Im esak shamayim sham ato, Hey, Yonah, Gemara, the Chazal starts out by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Shechina only rests in Eretz Yisrael, does not rest in Chutz La'aretz. The Hashem does not. And now the Gemara over here is coming to challenge that idea. But it's not so. How could you say, because the Pasuk says that Yonah fled. On, where should I go? And it says in the Pasuk, Uchsev Eine Hashem Hema Meshoidetim B'chol Ha'aretz Elo Amar Yonah Elech B'chutza La'aretz Mokom She'ein Hashchina Shor V'Nigleis Shagoyim Kroivim L'Shuvahein Shaloi L'Chayiv Eshrei. That's part of the whole discussion, but this Pasuk that we have learned over here is a critical Pasuk to tell us that there's a balance. It's a very interesting idea, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Although he is everywhere, the Shekhinah is not everywhere. There are many different degrees of Hashem's presence. We know that Hashem, of course, occupies is Mekoyma Shel Olam. Hashem is truly everywhere. So if Hashem is truly everywhere, why do we need to go and daven in a Beis HaKnesses? Why can't we daven at home? Why do we have a yearning to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohel HaMaravi? The answer is, there are different levels. Hashem is truly everywhere. And this pasuk is where it says, Einei Hashem Hema Meshoitetim B'chol Haaretz. Yet, even though Hashem's presence is everywhere, however, the Shekhinah, the divine presence where we can actually connect in a much higher level, that is only to be found only in Eretz Yisrael. The next Chazal says, Mi chamoicha bo'elim Hashem, be'elu sha'achirim karim oisam eloikois, Mativon. Okay, this is the Mizmor in Tehillim. In Tehillim we say, Enayim lohem velo yiru. Oznayim lohem velo yishmo. Af lohem velo yirichon. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, they do not hear. They have a nose, they do not breathe. Barach Baruch Hu, avu mi sha'amar v'hoi ho'ilam, ein echein ela ki Hashem, einav meshoititois, v'oimer, ein e Hashem heima meshoititim. This Chazal comes as a contrast to what we say in Tehillim. In Tehillim, in Hallel, in the Mizmor, when we describe the idols, we always wonder. You ever see these guys? They're very, very, very intense. They shuckle. They shuckle and they're very, like a Litvak. Very intense. So ask them, I understand when you say Shema Yisrael, I understand. I understand why you're on fire. But can you explain to me in Hallel, when you're saying, when you say Oznayim lohem velo yishmo, af lohem velo yirichon, what are you shuckling so much? What are the greatest kavanas you're having in Hallel when you're saying Einayim lohem velo yiru? You shuckle with such greatest kavana. What's the kavana? In saying that the idols have eyes and don't see, have ears, do not hear, have a nose and do not breathe. I mean, what's there to have kavana? When you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, I understand why you have a lot of kavana, but in this part of the davening, what's the kavana all about? In any event, this pasuk is the contrast. Einei Hashem Heima Meshoitetim B'chol Haaretz. Hashem really sees. Hashem, he sees it all. The Goyim, the Avodah Zarah, sees nothing. Next.
Small dicta question. Einayim is Nekeim, I should say Meshoitetois.
Eidei, but it's going on Hashem. Meshoitetim is going back not on the eyes, it's going on Hashem. Even though it's true that it says in Einayim, Einei Hashem, wait, who's what? Are you saying Einayim is Nekeva?
Sure.
Why is it Nekeva? Okay, but it's going on Hashem. The Einei Hashem, Hema, say Meshoitetois. You say meshaitetais. The eyes are meshaitetais. I don't know the answer, but I think it'll, I think part of the answer is that,
well, why does it say hema velo hena? Berabim hen.
Einei Hashem.
Berabot.
It's referring to
Hashem.
But
probably
einei Hashem. Because it's going. Al hameshotetim on the people who are meshotetim.
No, I don't think. I think the answer is I don't know, I don't have an exact answer, but I think according to rules of grammar, although we're describing the eyes, but the eyes are representatives of Hashem. The eyes are nothing in and of itself. Eyes are part of the body. Eyes are objects which receive information that go into the person, to the brain. So when we come to describe the meshoitetim, we're not describing the eyes, we're describing the brain, the person. It's true, being that the eyes are not independent, the eyes are subordinate to a being, and the being is, Hashem is described B'loshon Zohar. That's another question. Why do you describe it because it's B'loshon Zohar? But being that the eyes are not independent entities, they are part of a larger being, which is Zohar. So we say that we it's legal to turn from Meshaita Tois to Meshaita Tim. I don't know a precise answer. It's a good question. And
it's interesting what you're answering, but Eine is Rabim, Heima is Rabim, and Meshaita Tim is Rabim.
Right, so even though Meshaita Tim is Rabim, but being that the eyes are part of a being who is a Zohar, we change the expression of from Meshoitetois to Meshoitetim, even though it's true, it's coming back, it's referring to the eyes, but we don't look at the gender of the eyes, because the eyes is just an extension of a being. So it changes from Zohar to Nehemiah. I don't know if I'm saying this true. I'm just thinking out loud with you. It's a good question. Requires Bayer. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
And it says Shiva, not Sheva. Shiva is also Zachar. Sheva is Nekeva. So the whole Pasuk is Zachar.
Is Nekeva?
You seek something here.
Yeah, there's something going on over here.
Because it's Enei Hashem. It's not nice to say Hashem Zerushu Nekeva. Anything by Hashem. It's just...
Okay, we have to, it's a good question. So it's a very good question. We have to keep this in mind. Let's continue. One more Chazal. Chazal, conclude over here. V'hoyu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim.
Say Yod HaGdolah.
What?
Yod HaGdolah.
You're talking about Hayad Hashem. You know, you have Hayad Hashem Titzor, but you also have Yod HaGdolah.
Gdolah, feminine.
Yisrael, say Yod HaGdolah.
That's right. Okay, you're right. So there's Gdolah.
You can't say it's always
I don't know.
In the cave.
That's right.
Nice.
That's right. That's right.
It depends, like what you said, Rabbi Levine. It depends on the context of the Pasuk, the words that go around it. Because I can give you psukim that are both ways. Depends on what the Pasuk is saying. Do the male or the female? It's not one way.
You're right. I don't know. I don't know. We need to go study this in more detail. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, let's go further. One more Chazal. V'hoi enei livi shem kol hayamim v'chi shem b'lad heima v'aloi kva nema enei Hashem heima m'shaitin b'chol aretz ele mat hamlema v'hoi enei livi shem kol hayamim b'kviyachol she'enem k'viyachol she'enon ele shem. This Chazal in the Sifrei poses a contradiction between this pasuk and the famous pasuk that says that Hashem's eyes, einai v'libi, my eyes and my heart are shum, are there only in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. The question is, Sifrei asks the question, what do you mean they're only in Eretz Yisrael? But it says Hashem's eyes are surveying the entire world. So the answer is not as good as the question. The answer is kiviyachol she'enon elasham, which basically means is, of course Hashem sees the entire world, but his focus, his intention, the intensity of his focus is in Eretz Yisrael. That's the idea. This is a very delicate, the same idea we said before. Hashem is everywhere. although Hashem is everywhere, there is an intensity and there is a connection that can only be felt and achieved in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the advantage of living in Eretz Yisrael. You live in Chutz Liaretz, you can daven three times a day in Chutz Liaretz. But you're lacking the intensity and you're lacking the ability to actually connect, to connect to Eretz Yisrael. I remember when I used to daven many years in a yeshiva. Yeshiva, Chaim Berlin, you know, they have 1,500 people there. And then over the years, every once in a while, I dive in other places for different reasons. Even, you know, even in Chaim Berlin, they have an alumni minion and also a few hundred people. And always ask myself the question, I go to another minion and it's very comfortable, very comfortable. I have a chair and I have space, social distancing, right? And you can breathe. And the Shliach Tzibur, beautiful. They sing the most beautiful, heart-wrenching nigunim. And yet, for some reason, I feel like I'm missing something when I don't daven in the yeshiva. And I say, what am I missing? It's so much better here. The davening is shorter. They have a much better kiddush. And they have a beautiful chazan with beautiful melodies. And I have plenty of room and space. They start a little bit later, they finish earlier. What's so terrible? And I always challenge myself, what am I missing? And the answer, you know what the answer is? One word, intensity. Intensity, that's the word. It's not even more, a woman said, a woman who davened, also the same story. She davened in the yeshiva for many, many years. And then due to the circumstances, she had to go daven local, in a local shul, which was magnificent. She told me it's magnificent. But what's the difference? There's an intensity. And that intensity somehow, there's something to it. There's a value in that intensity. That is the same thing when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Liaretz, it's beautiful. You have beautiful shuls. You have beautiful yeshivas. You have everything you could possibly want in order to be a servant of Hashem. Anyway, there's no Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael, so what? You have a Beis HaMikdash? You have all the mitzvahs, HaTluyos V'aretz? There aren't that many more mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. Even the ones that there are, they're on a biblical level. Most of the mitzvahs, Trumos, Maisrois, many of these things are only Midrabanan. There are not that many more mitzvahs, real more mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael than there are in Chutz Liaretz. Yishuv Eretz, okay, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What are you missing? What are you missing in Chutz Liaretz that you don't have in Eretz Yisrael? And after everything is said and done, intensity. There is an intense presence of Hashem that you can't get in Chutz Liaretz. So that's the question.
They stay there.
There's an intensity. That's what it says here.
The entire country.
But here also, as well, it says in this pasuk, Einai v'libi sham. That's exactly the question. It's a contradiction. That's exactly what the Sifrei is asking. What is going on? Hashem is everywhere. Einei Hashem heima meshoydet ois b'chol ha'aretz. So how do we reconcile what you said, ba, or einai v'libi sham? The answer is intensity. Kaviyochol, what it means to say, that's what the answer is, she'enon ela sham. It's as if, it's make-believe they're only there. This is an expression. And I think what the expression really translates to mean is intensity. And that intensity is something you only have in Eretz Yisrael because that's where Hashem Shechina is. And that you can't fabricate. There's no art, you cannot create artificial intensity. There's no such thing. You know, it's the space station, the biggest problem in outer space. What is the, I always tell you this. I know in Brooklyn College, there was a professor, Professor Rafin. I don't know if he's still there anymore. I don't know, maybe he is still there. He had the whole fourth floor of Brooklyn College, of Ingersoll to himself. I think they knocked the Ingersoll, he had to himself, because they had a grant from NASA to prepare different experiments. They had the whole, it's amazing, they gave Mamash the whole, I was up there a couple of times, the whole fourth floor, unbelievable. And
I daven, Rabbi Reifen.
Dr. Reifen, yeah, he's down with them. So he's
that was only an outside minion.
He was only outside minion. He's still a professor at Brooklyn College?
Yeah, but I don't know if he's doing
NASA, not theology. Anymore.
He's doing computers.
Yeah, computers, right, computers. That's what I said, computers. He worked in the computer department.
I think his experiment was the brain, you know, to come back, you know,
He used to work, ask him, he used to work for NASA. He used to actually go to different parts of the world.
He was in Russia. He said the KGB followed him.
He had to stop. He told me the reason why he quit was because of Shabbos. Because it was almost impossible to work around Shabbos. NASA, they work 24/7, and you have to be in certain places of the world, different times, different things, so he had to stop. But he had grants from NASA. They had a whole laboratory in Brooklyn College for years on the fourth floor of Ingersoll in Brooklyn College. And he told me, what is the number one thing that NASA works on? They spent who knows how many trillions of dollars on this, to create artificial gravity. The body needs gravity. There's no gravity, in a very short time, the body becomes dysfunctional. All of the people who come back from space, they're sick for the rest of their life. Okay, Neil Armstrong was never the same. No one who goes into space for a prolonged period of time, even a week, the absence of gravity in your body, for a week, can destroy you for the rest of your life. This is no joke. And it is, and what do they do the whole day in NASA? They're trying to figure out how to create artificial gravity. The only thing they came up with, he told me, is to spin. If you have a platform that spins very quickly, that creates artificial gravity. The problem is the astronauts will get so dizzy by spinning, there's no way they can survive. Basically, what's the end of the day? The end of the day, a human being cannot live in outer space. It's bracha levatola because there's no gravity. And you cannot manufacture artificial gravity. Star Trek is one big lie. In Star Trek, you never saw people floating around.
So why do they have a space station with astronauts?
These people they're suicidal. There's people that are there for 6 months, it's literally suicidal. There's no way in the world they can live a regular life when they come back. The damage that is done to their organs because the absence of gravity is life-changing.
Wow.
It's a fact. Go Google this. These people, they're literally suicidal to go even for 8 days. Even going, there's a certain cutoff point. You remember the space shuttle? They went for very short missions. They didn't go for long. Why? They can go there. They can go for, what's the big deal? You know how much it costs to get the space shuttle? They don't have a space shuttle anymore. But you know how much it costs to get the space shuttle in outer space? It costs trillions of dollars. So keep it there for a couple of months already and do all of the experiments and then come back down. What are you coming back so quickly? No, it's suicidal. They don't want the responsibility of killing these people because you sit there and they have a cutoff 8 days. Don't stay all 8 days or 7 days. Because that, they felt, was the cutoff point when the body can deal with an absence of gravity. More than that, it's already sekanas nefashos. And these people on the space station, it's mamish, it's suicidal. You cannot manufacture artificial gravity. That's the yesod. In ruchnius, you cannot manufacture artificial intensity. There's gravity of spirituality in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Li'aretz, we're floaters. There is an absence of connection. When I say gravity, instead of gravity going down, I mean gravity going up, being pulled to a higher source.
Didn't we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because he wanted to do the mitzvahs to Leos Varis? It doesn't say anything about intensity.
Intensity.
Just mamash the mitzvahs.
Oh, so you say Enochanami. So if there was a Beis HaMikdash, then I'm talking about today when Golas. You're saying very good. If there was a Beis HaMikdash, so then there are mitzvahs, Hatiluyos Ba'aretz. Half of the mitzvahs approximately 50% of the mitzvahs can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do those 50% of the mitzvahs. But today, those mitzvahs cannot be done anyway in Eretz Yisrael because there is no Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. So, and there's no Beis HaMikdash, even Chumas and Maisrois and Chodosh and all of these things. Most kemat, everything is only midrabanan. There are very few things that today in Eretz Yisrael deraisa. It's all midrabanan. So today, hayoyim, what is the advantage of going to Eretz Yisrael? Because it's beautiful. You want to make aliyah. You want to do the mitzvahs. What mitzvahs? Okay, you'll say mitzvahs midrabanan. You want to say it's your homeland. Okay, I understand. These are all very nice answers.
Also, but there's a Israel machkim.
So what does that mean? Every Eretz Yisrael machkim. That's all part of this answer. The prime benefit of going to Eretz Yisrael is the intensity of Kedusha. That is the Maila. How would you define the intensity of Kedusha? Gravity. What do I mean gravity? There's gravity going down and there's gravity going up. The physical body is pulled to the earth. There is a force of gravity, the mass of the earth. The mitzias, the mass of the earth is the size which perfectly correlates with the human body. The human body must have gravity. And the proof is all of the astronauts. Hashem gave us astronauts to prove to us that if you don't have gravity, then you cannot live. Anyone who went to outer space does not walk. It's a fact that they do not walk the same way anymore. Neil Armstrong and all the Apollo astronauts, they don't walk. They walk funny. They walk funny. It's because it affects your body. When there is the human body must have gravity, and gravity pulls you to the ground. This is a dogma that the neshama has gravity to shamayim. The neshama is being pulled to a spiritual source. The body goes down. The neshama goes up. In outer space, there's no gravity. Nothing is pulling you down. Take that dogma. In a chutz li'aretz, the intensity of the gravity pulling your neshama up is very weak. In Eretz Yisrael, the gravity of pulling your neshama to a higher source is intense. That cannot be artificially manufactured in chutz li'aretz. You could have the most beautiful shul. You could have the best kollel. You can have the best svarim, the best Rashi yeshivas, the best teachers. Everything is the best. You cannot manufacture artificial spiritual gravity. Just like NASA will tell you, we've spent $1 trillion. Ask Dr. Rafin. $1 trillion. The most money that NASA has spent in research is to manufacture artificial gravity. Because without gravity, there's nothing to talk about. So dvodim, betalim, the entire thing.
And Rabbi, does this include Aram Tzoiva, Aram also?
Aram Tzoiva, well, there are different degrees. The closer you are to Eretz Yisrael, obviously, the closer the gravity. There's the Beis HaMikdash, there's Yerushalayim, there is Eretz Yisrael, then there is Chutz LiYarden, Eiver HaYarden, and Aram Tzoiva is another Madrega, Kibush Yochid, that's the Chora after Eiver HaYarden. They're madregois. The closer you are to the Makar is the closest mokoim of the spiritual gravity. And it's a very important dogma. Scientists cannot create artificial gravity. You cannot manufacture spiritual gravity. It only can be in the real place in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. That is the benefit. And that's what it says in this Mamar Chazal, the contradiction between these two psukim, Eine Hashem Heima Meshoidotos Pola Oretz, Eine Hashem Lokecha Shom, Bo, intensity. That's the key word. All right, we're going to stop here. It's very late. Stop here, give a very short break. And then we're going to talk about the base medrash, Shel Shem, the Eiver. This week we learn about Koilel, the first reference to learning in Koilel. This is Bamish, the morning Koilel. Is Yaakov Ishtom. Yoishev Oholim. He went to the morning koilel. So we're going to talk about some of the topics of what it means to be a koilel yingamai after we come back from our break.
Good morning, everybody. Now's your chance to say hello to the
to your friends. Hello, Mayor. Who's answering Rav Heschel? Long time no hear.
Yeah, I've been around. I've been quiet.
You're quiet? What's the matter? You afraid your wife will listen and hear the Chochmas you say?
Yeah, something like that.
Uh-huh.
I just dropped her off by Fred. All right.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dr. Cohen.
I'm not the one from Canada. I'm here in New York. This is
this is Aaron Cohen. We recognize you.
Yeah. But I'm saying that Segwit Tom is a Cohen doctor.
I made you a doctor. The Kohanim were able to prescribe something for Tsaras, I suppose. So they were doctors in infectious diseases. They were doctors.
Very good.
Also, Bochmetzen, because they ate so much meat.
Hello.
Anybody that had a lot of stomach aches, because they ate a lot of meat.
Yeah. Is Avram, hello. Avram, is he here? Kalis? Today's the yahrzeit of Avram from Shiur Mitzuyonim Ba'alucha.
He's in Florida, so I don't know if he gets the, I don't know if his schedule is now. He's in Florida. He has much better than
he's
schedule.
In Florida now.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Mr. Nyman?
Baruch Hashem. I'm going also right before Hanukkah, Mesh Hashem.
The only thing about scary going to Florida is the plane trip.
That's right. That's true.
Is Angepag